want pithy quotes? Check out social media. When you want words of truth, look to the Bible. But be careful not to get those two mixed up. I am Rob West. Some familiar sayings may sound like Bible verses, but they're really not. Today we'll find out why so many old saws really don't cut wood. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Of all the Bible verses that aren't actually in the Bible, here's the most familiar one. God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, this sounds great, especially if you're struggling with financial hardship. Unfortunately, it's not true. The fact is, life is always more than we can handle without God. After all, we need His help just to take our next breath. The idea that God won't give you more than you can handle is a misreading of 1 Corinthians 10:13, which actually says, God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The good news is God's faithfulness, providing a way so we can endure temptation, not necessarily avoid it. Okay, here's another popular quote. Maybe you heard your grandma say this when you refused to do your chores. God helps those who help themselves. Again, it might seem like something from the Bible, but it's not. In fact, it's the opposite of what God's Word says, which is that our help comes from one place. Psalm 121:2 tells us, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." It's not God plus me getting the job done. God's help is never contingent on what you or I do. In fact, there's nothing we can do even to earn God's help. But again, the good news from the Bible is that God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's help is always available, not because we do our chores, but because He loves us in spite of our brokenness. Well, we're just getting warmed up here with biblical-sounding sayings that aren't actually in the Bible. Have you ever had a disappointment and someone told you, if God closes a door, He'll open a window? Besides letting the bugs in one way or another, what is that really saying? That God always resolves your problems immediately? In fact, that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes God closes a door and we have to wait, with the doors and the windows firmly shut. The Bible does promise that God will keep us headed in the right direction when we're following Him with all our heart. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." But the way you should go doesn't necessarily mean God will make an escape hatch when you don't seem to be making progress. You'll find that God often does some of His best work as you wait, teaching you to trust Him even more. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Our next quote is, "To thine own self be true." That might sound like scripture, but it's really from Shakespeare's play Hamlet. As a piece of advice, it's completely unbiblical. "To thine own self be true" suggests that all you need for success is to follow your own instincts and desires. Unfortunately, it's our own instincts and desires that cause us to sin. Self-reliance is no substitute for reliance on Jesus. He is the source of truth and the only one we can really rely on. That brings me to the next common saying, another piece of unbiblical advice: follow your heart. First of all, here's what Jeremiah 17:9 has to say about our hearts. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" In light of that truth, following your heart seems like a really bad idea. BibleStudyTools.com puts it this way: God gives us passions and desires and uses our lives to prepare us for His purposes, just as He prepared David during his time as shepherd, soldier, and court musician. But that only works if we completely surrender our lives to His leading. The next not-in-the-Bible quote is, "Let go and let God." The problem with this saying is that it might encourage a passive approach to problem solving. While faith and trust in God are crucial, the Bible also teaches the importance of taking action and using the resources and wisdom God provides to address issues. As J.I. Packer once put it, the Christian's motto should not be "let go and let God," but "trust God and get going." The bottom line, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can always trust His provision and rest in His peace, even in the midst of hard circumstances. Your calls are next. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's been an eventful summer. Hopefully that's true for you in all the good ways we associate with summer, but also eventful for the world. Fierce political battles around elections, wars raging in Eastern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, acts of terrorism in other places. No matter where you look, the world is filled with strife, and that's nothing new. King David described this in Psalm 2. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate His rule with trembling. Every nation has its rulers, but there is one king who rules over all. Jesus is the answer for this hurting world. And you'll see Him more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
that was jumbled.
We were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off.
Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever is on your mind financially. We'll dive into those questions here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, not everyone is happy about the Federal Reserve possibly lowering interest rates as early as next month. Folks who invest in CDs and other fixed income securities aren't fans of what the long-awaited Fed rate cuts will do to CD interest rates, namely lower them. Nationwide CD rates have been inching lower in anticipation of Fed cuts, with declines of around a quarter point in recent days. For terms of 2, 3, 4, and 5 years, rates are ranging between 4.5% and 4.75%. But analysts say it's still a good time to lock in a favorable long-term rate. Investors should look for banks and other institutions offering anything anywhere close to 5% is great. I'm on bankrate.com this morning and noticed that you can still get a one-year CD at 5%, but there's very few of them, at least compared to what there had been previously. Really not anything above 5%, and that's really for CDs of 1 year or less. Once you get in the two-year range, you're definitely into the fours. And so this would be a great time if you are looking to take a portion of your money that's on the shorter end of the duration. This is not money you're going to need for, you know, you may need it, you know, before 5 years, but you know you have at least a year. This might be a good opportunity for you to lock in one of these 5% rates. Again, bankrate.com would be a great place to go, among others, where you can find who's paying the very best rates right now. It's probably going to be an online bank, but you'll certainly want to look for something with either FDIC or NCUA insurance. You'll also want to make sure that you look at it against the other institutions. And Bankrate offers a 5-star rating system, so you can see how at least it stacks up based on the criteria they use to evaluate these institutions. Also, if you want a faith-aligned solution, you want an organization, a banking partner that shares your values and even takes a portion of what they receive and shares it with ministries doing the work in the name of Jesus around the globe, you can check out our friends at Christian Community Credit Union, a wonderful partner of ours for years now. A lot of our listeners have a banking relationship with Christian Community Credit Union, and we've been getting great feedback. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. Again, that's joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. We've got lines open. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Pennsylvania today. Hi, Glenda. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Happy to.
I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to ask, my husband and I'm 77 and my husband is 81, and about the only thing that we have of any value is property. We have about an acre and a half that we live on, and we're in a trailer. And we would like to gift this property to our grandson, who's 26. Yeah.
Okay.
And we would like to know what the best way to gift it without his being hit with too much financial penalty.
I see. Yeah, it's great, Glenda. And I'm delighted to hear you're thinking about that. You know, what I would say before we talk about the mechanics of transferring that property in a tax efficient manner, I would just say, think about the idea of, you know, what's paramount is the spiritual capital that you transfer. And so be intentional about sharing your faith story with him as a part of that legacy that you're leaving. I would say the next most important piece of capital, if you will, that you can leave to your grandson is the character capital after spiritual. You know, I encourage folks like you and your husband to think about the character of your family. What makes your family who they are? What are some of those key values that you want to leave? It could be as simple as work diligently, live simply, and give generously. But, you know, whatever those character capital traits are that are important to you and your husband, make them a part of your family story and then share those. And then the financial capital comes last, in my view, and that's what we're talking about here with this piece of property. But it's the idea that your values really are the fire, if you will, that you want to keep in that fireplace, that are a part of what makes your grandson who he is. But the money is going to be an accelerant. So whatever those values are, you know, dropping a couple hundred thousand dollars or more in his lap is going to accelerate that life trajectory that he's on. And so we just want to make sure he's prepared for that. And that's why we ask this question, is the next steward not only chosen, but prepared? Because we realize that, you know, that money is going to accelerate his life in whatever direction he's going. So you just want to be thoughtful about that. Now, when it comes to how you mechanically will transfer this property, it's fairly simple. As long as he inherits it and you don't gift it to him prior to your death, then he will get, based on the current tax law, what's called a step up in basis, which just simply means he will, for tax purposes, the cost basis for him when he sells the property will be the property value as of the date of death for you or your husband, whoever dies last. And that means that if he turns around and sells it right away, there is no capital gain because the cost basis for the property would step up to the date of death, and then he'd turn around and sell it for the same market value. And so there is no gain there. And so he gets 100% of that property, you know, so long as all the other obligations of your estate have been taken care of, any debts or things like that that need to be covered. Does that make sense, though?
Yes. And I do want you to know that my husband and I are both in love with the Lord, and so is our grandson.
I love that. And that's great.
And he wants to live here. He loves to garden, and he's a beautiful, he has a beautiful, faithful heart. He loves to garden, and he would just be happy as could be here.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. Property is not in the, as I said, we live in a trailer, and we know that the value's not in that. It's just, it's in the land, but he wants to not sell it. He wants to make it his home.
Okay, got it. Yeah, very good. So the only tax would be from the state of Pennsylvania, and you're not going to get around that. There is no inheritance tax at a federal level. So, you know, the only thing that would need to be paid would be from the estate. Because it's a modest estate, there's not going to be any estate taxes. It would just be any outstanding obligations, any debts that needed to be paid. But apart from that, he'll be able to receive this with no federal inheritance tax. And in terms of how you'd go about getting that property to him, you could use a simple will where you would leave the property to him in the will. And then he would enjoy the step up in basis, and then he could keep the property and live in it if he wants to. You could also put it in a trust, and then it would pass outside of probate. But there really is no difference with regard to the taxation. The only difference would just be, you know, whether or not, you know, he receives that through the probate process with the courts, which just takes a little bit of time, maybe a month or two, and a little bit of expense, or if he receives it outside of probate, which would be where the trust comes in. But it sounds like you're a wonderful grandmother. This will be a blessing to him. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your practical financial decisions and choices. Maybe it's that spending plan that's tripping you up, or trying to get that debt paid off once and for all. Maybe it's saving for the future and how to navigate the volatility in the stock market as you save in your 401k or other investment accounts. Or maybe it's giving generously. How do we give in a way that aligns with the heart of God and makes sense in terms of a plan? Or maybe it's giving out of assets, which is your greatest opportunity for generosity, would be coming from your balance sheet. Well, there are very specific ways to do that that can allow you to give even more, perhaps, than you ever considered. Any of those questions are in play today. The number to call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go back to the phones to Ohio. We go. Hi, Lois. Go ahead.
Hi, how exciting to talk to you.
Well, I'm thrilled you're on the program. Thank you. Go right ahead with your question. Uh-oh. All right, looks like we lost Lois. So our team is going to work on that, see if we can get her back on the line. We had enough time for her to say, I'm glad to be on the program, but that was about it. So we'll get that one straightened out and head back there. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to a good friend a moment ago who is working in this area of legacy and legacy planning. And they meet, he and his team meet regularly with families to talk about the idea of values transfer. And this comes to mind just because of the last conversation we had just before the break, where we were talking about a grandmother who wanted to be able to give generously to her grandson, and just thinking about what that might look like. And, you know, I mentioned something to her that I think bears repeating, and that is that the key question here to answer when we're thinking about giving to our heirs is around the preparedness, and specifically the preparedness of the heart to receive the gift, realizing that passing wisdom is far more important than passing wealth. So the question to ask is, what do I expect that this inheritance is going to do in my child's life? What do I hope that this inheritance is going to do in this child's life? And what concerns do I have about what this inheritance might do in my child's life or grandchild, whoever that heir is? And I think just thinking and praying through that, and perhaps collaboration with financial professionals who are godly men and women who can help you think through that, translating your aspirations and desires and even concerns into a calculated and purposeful plan to both transfer the values, including the idea of perhaps even helping the heirs begin to give some of it away while you're alive, but also preparing for their receiving of the actual financial inheritance, really critical, especially as we talk about estates that are larger. The money could be an accelerant to a lifestyle that's already moving away from the Lord, and that would be the last thing that we would want. And so give that some prayerful consideration. By the way, if you'd like to do some reading on this topic, a great book would be Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs. That's Splitting, H-E-I-R-S. It's, I think, the very best book on this topic for the soft side of wealth transfer, not necessarily the mechanics, the trusts and the tools but really the questions that you would ask before you get to the point of making those decisions and putting those documents in place. All right, we've got, looks like, two lines open, 800-525-7000. Lois, I understand you're back with us. Is that right?
I am. Thanks for your patience with that.
No problem. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I belong to a church in an affluent suburb, and we have many faithful and well-off members. So our church has plenty of money. It always has had. We just finished a building project, debt-free, with money left over. And now someone has just given us $2.4 million unrestricted.
Wow.
So this is great. But my question is, I've always supported my church as well as other ministries and nonprofits. It seems a little silly to give money just to sit in the bank, but I also don't feel right about not supporting my church.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
I certainly resonate with that, Lois. You know, here's the thing. I think the key idea is to realize that God doesn't need our money, and giving is not for his sake, but for our sake. You could say it this way. It's not what God wants from us, it's what God wants for us. And so I think the primary motivator of our giving is really an overflow of our gratitude to the Lord for starting with the fact that he's given us his son who paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, that we might be reconciled with the Father and be in a right standing relationship with him. And, you know, out of that, overflow of our gratitude to God, one way we can express that is through our giving. And I think based on the admonition of Scripture, that should start with the local church. Now, we're no longer under the law of Moses, and so I don't think we have necessarily the tithe as a requirement in the way that it was in the Old Testament covenant. But I will say that I think it's not a ceiling, it's a floor, and I think it's a good guideline or a starting point for our giving. And I would, take us back to maybe 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So this is not a must-do, it's a get-to. And then he goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I think we give cheerfully. I think we give at a minimum that tithe as a guideline for our giving, that systematic gift to the Lord, starting with the local church, is the place to give. And I would say that's irrespective of the financial status of the church. Now, I think one opportunity would be, and hopefully this is already underway, especially just given what you described about some of the recent giving that has been done, maybe there's an opportunity for the church leadership, lay leadership, pastoral staff to think about what do they do with that money? Because I don't think we should just be building up larger and larger reserves. That money was given to get it into circulation in God's economy. And so perhaps there's more mission work that can be done, more programming to take the gospel to your community. Maybe you serve on one of those committees. But as to giving, I would say absolutely continue giving to your local church. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. By the way, if you're looking to do some giving as we head into the giving season and we move quickly into the fourth quarter, not there yet, but it's coming, you might want to check with the American Family Association Foundation. The team there at the AFA Foundation would be delighted to talk to you about charitable gift annuities where you can get a partial tax deduction and an income stream for life on a gift to American Family Association. You can look at appreciated stock gifts to minimize your tax burden for the year, even gifts of other assets like real estate. The team at AFA Foundation is always willing to walk alongside you and answer any questions you might have. Just go to afafoundation.net. to learn more. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today here at 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Oklahoma and welcome Matthew to the broadcast. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate your insight and wisdom.
Thank you.
My wife and I are, yes, sir, you're welcome. We are debt-free. With the exception of a small signature loan, and we have the opportunity to purchase an acre of land and build a home using a VA loan, and we were trying to figure out the best time to do that. We currently own 8 acres beside it with a mobile, and one of the options we could do would be to purchase a mobile, a double wide, but I don't like the longevity of that. I think it'd be better to go ahead and build a like a shop, metal shop home. And I think it would just hold a lot more value over time, you know?
Yes.
And then we have six kids. So is that right? Is that the right way to think about that?
I think it certainly could be. I think the question is just your financial readiness for this expense and the project that will be ensuing. So are you planning to hire a general contractor, or will you be the GC on this?
Well, we can do either one. I have a brother-in-law who does GC work, but I think I also have some friends who are in the trades, and I have a background in the trades as well in the military. So,
okay.
I think we could pull it off over the summer. I'm a teacher as well, so I have summers off.
Yeah, very good.
I think we can make it work. You know.
Yeah, very good. And then in terms of, you know, what you would, how you would go about that, would you get a construction loan? And do you have a portion of what it will ultimately take for the build already saved up? Or will you try to fund all of that from a VA loan?
I think we would, we talked about it. And to answer your question, I think I was really loving the idea of staying out of debt completely, but this is a need my wife has. And so this is not really... I can survive wherever, but I think this is more for her and for the kids. And so
it's been one of those things where my faith has been stretched a little bit, but, you know, looking back, the Lord's always provided. You know, we've tithed and we believe in that. And so I think we do a construction loan to a mortgage through it and use a VA, and we don't have to. When I talked to the bank recently, they said you don't have to worry, you know, about any money. You just have to pay the interest payment every month until you get to the mortgage itself.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, to the first part of that, I think, yeah, you as one flesh, as a married couple, need to come together and just kind of think through that and think through your values. I heard you say she has a priority on, you know, having a home, and there's some security that comes with that, and I certainly understand that. You're saying you want to be out of debt as quickly as possible, and I think we need to kind of pray through how these two things come together. How do we kind of build on our value of having a homestead, a place that, you know, for your family as the kids grow, that can be a part of your family story, and that you can serve and bless others and provide for them, and also kind of lean into this desire that you have to be debt-free to the extent you can. And I think those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. It's going to involve you finding the right home to build and the right amount to borrow, and then keeping your lifestyle at a minimum so you can pay that down as quick as you can. The VA does offer construction loans, and so, you know, they can be a good option. You don't need to buy the land, but to build the home and then, you know, pay it off all in one. And so it doesn't require a down payment. I'd be careful there, just because they allow you to go in without a down payment as a feature of a VA loan. I'm not necessarily a big fan of that, because you'd have 100% financing there. They do have more relaxed credit guidelines. You know, there can be some exemptions to that VA funding fee. You may want to look into that. And then it would obviously convert to a permanent loan once you're done. And, you know, that saves in some of the closing costs when you do that. So I think that could be a great option for you guys. I would just think through, what is that actual mortgage payment going to be when we're done, based on the amount we're having to borrow, and try to really dial into not just a best guess on what it's going to cost, but really take the time, especially if you're not using a general contractor who's going to give you, you know, a guaranteed bid. You just want to make sure that you're not being too conservative with the, or I guess too aggressive in thinking that you can do it, you know, inexpensively, and find out you're going to have cost overruns that end up, you know, with a much bigger mortgage than you intended, you know, that is now going to put a strain on the family budget. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was one of the reasons why we considered the mobile, but I just don't like the mobile over, you know, over a regular home.
Yeah.
Over
yeah.
time, because I think the value, you know, decreases. And so,
yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that. I think the key here is just do a detailed bid, whether it's for yourself with your brother-in-law or hiring a contractor, and make sure you get everything in there so you know what is the full cost of everything that's going to take to get to the finish line, and then, you know, work that against your budget and make sure that you're not getting too, you know, stretched too thin. A good guideline for that ultimate mortgage payment once you convert it to permanent would be no more than 25, at the most 30% of your take-home pay, and that'll make sure that you have enough left for everything else. But I think you're on the right track here, Matthew, and, you know, this is not for the faint of heart, new construction. However, I'm thrilled to hear you've got some experience yourself and in your family with, you know, pulling this off in a way that will ultimately be a blessing to you and your wife and your kids. So thanks for being on the program, sir. We appreciate you connecting with us today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We do have some lines open today. By the way, when it comes to the housing market, we know that it's certainly been a challenging environment, to say the least. I was just looking at some data over the weekend about the housing market, and you may not realize this, but housing prices have increased by 42.4% since January of 2020. And median incomes have only risen by 23%. So we've got essentially housing prices two times that of the increases that we've seen in incomes, which just the net result of that is it's putting pressure and stress on the average family. I think the latest data I'm seeing is that a household needs to earn somewhere around $105,000 to $120,000 a year to comfortably afford a house, which is dramatically up since pre-COVID. Now, some of the things that have led to these really high year-over-year increases in the housing market are working through the system. We're seeing a bit more in the way of new construction, which had slowed, and that's why we were experiencing some of this with a lack of inventory. We have more inventory now. Obviously, lower interest rates will help, but that's just going to slow the rate of increase, not necessarily see any kind of decline. So make sure you go into it well prepared and don't buy a house you can't afford. We'll be right back.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend, Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants, this is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. If you find value in the program, maybe you listen regularly, perhaps we've been able to be an encouragement to you, or you've heard something you've been able to apply in your financial life, and you'd like to ensure that more people get to hear the biblical wisdom we provide through our articles and website and through this radio broadcast every day, a great way to do that is to become a FaithFi partner. Those are folks across the country and even in other parts of the world that support us at $35 a month or more. We call them FaithFi partners, and not only do we send you a quarterly letter helping you to understand all that God is doing here at FaithFi, but you get all of our studies and devotions pre-release as an encouragement to you in your stewardship journey. And when we launch our new FaithFi publication early next year, which will be a quarterly piece beautifully designed with really thoughtful and practical articles that are theologically sound, all in this area of faithful stewardship, that will be coming to your door as well. You even get a discount on FaithFi Pro if you use the app. So check it out today. We would love for you to support the ministry. It helps us to keep the ministry strong as a listener-supported ministry. You can just head to faithfi.com/give. That's faithfi.com/give and become a FaithFi partner today. We would be grateful. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for your call.
Well, thank you for your program. I'm a disabled vet, and I'm in my 70s. I'm divorced as of recently. I'm trying to work out a plan, and I think I have one to get out of. I'm working on getting out of debt. I have a good income. I owe about $6,000, which I'm working on paying off in a few months.
That's great.
After that, I'm going to try to, I don't have much saved, but I'm going to try to save what I can. Try to put away at least $1,000 a month. Maybe, well, right now it's $500 a month, but I'm working on upping that.
Okay.
And then, because I want to have something in reserve, and then I want to try to save up a little money. And I wanted to think about maybe I rent my home. It doesn't cost very much right now. I thought about renting, I mean, about buying a home, but I don't think at my age I better get involved in that. But the one issue for me, and it's not really an issue because I'm a tither. I believe in tithing. I give probably more than 10%. But the thing of it is I'm legally blind at the present time. So I don't go to church, and I can't drive or nothing. I live way out in the country. So I get all my teaching from Christian Radio, your program, and many others. And as far as tithing goes, I still give to where I used to go to church, but I don't go there anymore, and I don't even get to hear the sermons because I'm not a very tech-savvy person.
Yeah.
So I was considering looking at other ministries to give that tithe to, like yours for one, 8 Days of Hope, Samaritan's Purse, things like that. Is that a bad way to look at things as far as the tithing goes?
Well, first of all, Jim, thank you for your call and for your faithful testimony of service to the Lord, to our nation through your service as a veteran, but also just your testimony of your open-handed generosity throughout your life and even today. You know, I think with the tithe, I mean, I would go back to what I shared with a previous caller today, and that is, you know, the starting point for our giving and our generosity is a reflection of an overflow of gratitude to God for what He has done for us. New Testament giving is giving freely, so not under compulsion. It's not a matter of checking a box, you know, as a requirement. It really is giving freely. I think it's giving sacrificially. We see that demonstrated by the widow that Jesus celebrated in the temple. I think it's giving systematically. And so I think using the guideline of a tithe from the Old Testament law of Moses as a starting place for our giving is a great way to go, and it sounds like you're doing that. As to where that goes, I would say we should keep the local church as the first place to give, but we certainly want to give beyond that. And I think the approach you're taking, just given your inability to be a part of a local fellowship, which I'll join you in praying that God gets you to the place where you could get to a church on Sunday to be a part of a fellowship in a Bible believing church in a community. Whether that's through somebody being able to pick you up and take you there, or getting a friend to help you, you know, get your smartphone connected to a local church in the area so you can at least watch from the, you know, comfort of your living room the service and the Bible teaching. I would love for you to figure out one of those two things. But at the end of the day, how you do your giving is between you and the Lord. And if you decided to continue the plan where a portion goes to the local church and a portion goes to some teaching ministries where you're being fed, I don't think the Lord has any issue with that. He doesn't need our money. It's really about what He wants for you, not from you. And clearly, you are a generous person who is committed to the Lord and committed to, among other things, stewardship of your treasure. So is that helpful, though, at all, Jim?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm saved and born again. And I just believe in tithing. I mean, there's so many ministries out there that I want to give to. I mean, I can make a long list of all the ones sure. I want to give to.
Sure.
And, you know, I live by myself, so I don't get much for company anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give what I can give. But I wonder about giving to the local church versus all the ministries I want to give to. I got nothing against giving to the local church. I used to.
Sure.
But now that I can't go back there, and I was going to try to get them on the internet, but I can't do that because I'm not a very tech-savvy person in my 70s.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I was just kind of wondering about giving as far as I'm going to give and just breaking it down. And I don't want to make God angry
no.
the way I give. But I, I just,
I wouldn't worry about that. As long as you're following 2 Corinthians here and giving what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but cheerfully as unto the Lord, I think that's the biblical model of giving. That's certainly everything I hear in your voice and in your approach. You've been an encouragement to me today, Jim, so I'm delighted you called, and I think God is well pleased with the approach you're taking, sir. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you for being on the program today, and I would say well done and keep on keeping on. Thanks for joining us today. Call anytime. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Ken. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I heard your caller earlier today said that they received a large amount of money and they weren't sure what to do with it and didn't want to leave it in the bank. In Russellville, Arkansas, I don't know how many, 2 or 3 years ago, one of the churches received a large donation from and it may have been a cumulative donation, but they thought, what could we do to benefit our community that would bless a large number of people?
Yeah.
And what they did is they went out and found people that had medical bills and paid them off for them.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, I live 60 miles away and I heard about it. I thought, my gosh, what a testimony.
Yes.
To reach out and take that medical bill that's causing them heartburn and pain and monthly stress and paying it off. And I thought, man, that is a tremendous way to do it. But that blessing that they've received, they need to pray about and come up with some ideas. And I just thought of the church down at Russellville that did that. And I'm forever grateful that they did that because it makes me sort of get off my fanny and do a little bit more than what I am doing now. So,
wow. Well, Ken,
you're a blessing.
Well, thank you, Ken. And let me just say, what a great story that is. I mean, I can't think of a better picture of being the hands and feet of Jesus and a testimony to the community about God's love through that act of generosity to those in their local community. And I think that's the opportunity. You know, there is an appropriate amount for a church to have in reserves. And I've served on finance committees over the years at churches, and we've, you know, wrestled through and prayed through as a lay leadership team and with the pastor around the appropriate amount to have in reserves. And I think somewhere, but, you know, not having any reserves is not enough, and having probably more than a year's worth of expenses is too much. But I think finding the right landing place in between that is appropriate. I think, you know, I generally suggest about 6 months expenses beyond the mortgage requirements from the bank. But beyond that, you know, to the extent God is providing and people are giving generously, I mean, we saw this in the New Testament church in Acts. I mean, they were, you know, out of an overflow of generosity, they were meeting the needs of the people. And I think what you're describing is a beautiful picture of that, to say, you know what, this money was given to the local church, not so it could build the coffers, but so that it could get into circulation in God's economy. And there's any number of ways we could do that through missions projects and gospel work and meeting the needs of those in the community, whether that's through a benevolence to the poor or in this creative way that you mentioned from Arkansas. So, Ken, what a great story. Perhaps our caller earlier today, who has a church that just was the recipient of a generous $2 million plus gift, could do a quick internet search for that story in Russellville and share that with her pastor. That would be a real blessing. You know what? At the end of the day, folks, here's the bottom line. We're giving because we want to express gratitude to God. You know, I think one of the primary reasons that we are entrusted with whatever God decides to entrust with us, however little or however much, is yes, to provide and even to enjoy. We see that in 1 Timothy, but it's also to give and to give generously. And what an incredible testimony to the world when they see, especially right now in the midst of uncertainty and some fear in the system and stock market volatility and election and economic headwinds, to be able to say, I trust God. He is my provider and protector, no one or nothing else. And so I will give because I know it's not up to me. It's up to God to continue to provide. And so I want to be a blessing to those around me. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Thanks for being along with us today. Big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry on research, Devin Patrick, my amazing producer, and Mr. Adam Suddeth handling our phones today. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.